It certainly does, answered Leonard, and it's wonderful. Well, I had to say that first, Joe went on, still talking as if his time were all too limited. Now, I'm gonna say what I gotta say to you. You know I don't like that sob stuff, but if it hadn't been for you people been on the level with me, and believe in what I said, and not kicking me out, if it hadn't been that you treated me the way you did. Well, what's happened to me is all your fault. No, that's not what I mean. How'd I say it? Do you mean to say, because of you people? Leonard helped out. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's because of you people here that I'm where I am and not in the mess I was in. You see? That's what I mean. And it's because of Aramius and my good old priest, God love his soul, maybe he's dead too, I don't know, but it's because of you and them that I'm here saying what I gotta say. And now unless you want to say something to me, I gotta go. But before I go, I'm saying thank you, and believe me I mean it. It is for us to thank you for giving us the opportunity to do for you what you are going to do for others. You know, that's a swell way for you to put it. Maybe someday I'll learn to talk the way you do, Joe said wistfully. Well, this we know, Leonard went on, with sincere encouragement. We know that your heart is right. Watch out for that big soft heart of yours, because you love people as much as we love you. They're gonna keep a close check on me, so I don't think I'm gonna get in a mess like that again, and I'm not afraid, either, because now I'm with people that are on the level. They're all right. They mean it. You don't know what it means to me not to get kicked in the shins. But I haven't had one kick since you talked to me the other night. So I'll try to keep things going. At this point Joe's innate humor could no longer contain itself. Addressing a lady who had been dressed in red the last time, he chided good-naturedly, "You don't have on your red dress tonight, do you? But you have one." He added, turning to another, "You thought I couldn't see color, didn't you? Well, I can. We can see you. Oh, just one thing. Can I say this?" "Surely," Leonard replied. "That's one thing that makes it tough on you folks. I don't mean just you people that are sitting right here. I mean people generally. We can see you, but you can't see us. Oh, by the way, Joe," Leonard called quickly, as if to try to reach Joe before he left. "Yeah?" drawled Joe. "Tell all those over on your side that we love them, and we will serve them as best we can." "Sure, pal, I'll tell them. I ought to know. So long." Chapter 9, Spiritual No Man's Land. At this point Joe's adjustment to his new life was far indeed from complete. Yet even though it had been a comparatively short period, by our standards of measuring time, since his liberation from the condition in which Aramius had found him, he was beginning to manifest a degree of understanding of the other side, his present abode. Upon his return there after his second visit to the AUM group, he sought out his new friend and teacher, the priest. The many questions Joe had were running through his mind faster than he could give expression to them, and he was bombarding the priest with inquiries in such rapid order that the priest had no time to give adequate answers to all that Joe wanted to know. Finally they both laughed at the ridiculousness of the situation, but their laughter was also due to the satisfaction on the part of both of them that Joe had accepted his new life and was so eager to learn all about it. "Well, Joe, which of your many questions shall I answer first? I guess what I really wanna know is what was happening to me during all the time I was roaming around from place to place, trying to get somebody to talk to me. I can sort to understand being dead. But why the big difference between the way I was then and the way I am now? Seems like I was going around in a daze all the time. But now I never knew anybody could feel so much alive. Let's think of transition as having two different phases. First is that period when the individual leaves the body and severs all physical connection with it. For our purpose here, we will call this the physical transition. In the second phase the individual goes through the valley of the shadow and emerges into the sunshine of the summerland. Ideally the second phase follows immediately upon the first. I guess mine wasn't one of the ideal ones, huh? Joe interrupted. No, smiled his friend. But of course the period of time between the two phases was not nearly as long for you as for many who take years, or even centuries, of Earth time to do what you did in several months. Of course, there are those rare instances where one spiritual foundation makes it possible for him to blend the two phases into one, and when he leaves his body he immediately finds himself in the Summerland. Why does it take most of us guys so long to go through that valley of shadow? Joe wanted to know. Unless a person has an adequate spiritual foundation and an understanding of transition, he is too confused to trust himself to the guides and helpers who meet him and offer to help him after he goes through the valley. Upon stepping through the veil that separates the two planes, he finds himself standing beside his physical body, where he has lived during his lifetime on the earth. This in itself is confusing enough, but much more frustration is added when he finds that his body will no longer obey his commands to move. It is inert and lifeless, and he does not know why. It is likely that at this time he does not know he is dead. He comes to realize that he actually has no physical body, but he does not know what his condition is. Thus he becomes frustrated and too confused to accept the help that has been offered him. The love and understanding is there for him, but he is not ready to accept this yet. Not having any idea what is ahead of him, and being afraid because he does not know, he turns to the only thing he does know, the earth. He allows himself to be pulled back toward the earth and its familiar comfort, whether he found it a happy place while he was there or not. It's easier than going ahead into something he knows nothing about. He becomes what we call earthbound. "So that's what I was up against," exclaimed Joe, happy to have this insight into his past months. "Think of all the time I wasted, just because I was afraid to go on. All I did, Vas, try to convince people I wasn't dead."
"You weren't ready to be helped," answered the priest. "When you were ready for help you asked for it, and you received it immediately. Because you had tried so desperately to talk to people who were still in their physical bodies, and you had longed so deeply for some response from people, you needed a contact with people on the earth plane who could respond to you. This is the reason you were taken to Leonard and other members of the AUM group. You talked to them through Mrs. Gores, and after you had satisfied your longing for that contact, you were ready for the next step."
"Yeah, I know," said Joe slowly, as another ray of understanding broke through into his consciousness. "And you sure got that right about me being tied to the life I had had down there, or back there, or wherever it is. I still don't know. During all the time, I wouldn't listen to anybody, especially them guys that tried to tell me I was dead. But finally I was lucky." "There are countless others," the priest went on to explain, "who are not necessarily as tightly tied to the earth as you were, Joe, not necessarily as rigidly earthbound, but who, due to a lack of spiritual foundation, do not have the courage or the spiritual fortitude to take that vital step toward the Valley of the Shadow. They are neither of the earth nor of the Summerland, they are caught between the two. Being too bewildered and frustrated to make any decision, and thwarting the efforts of those who would help them, they become what is known as dwellers on the threshold."
"What does that make of me?" Joe was instantly curious to know.
"Is that what I was?"
"You were definitely earthbound," continued the priest. "You had very strong ties to the earth, which you were not ready to release. You continued to think in earth terms, you retained your earth appetites, the only difference was that you had no physical body. Yet having a body, a new body, that seemed to you to be physical, you were definitely still of the earth. But the dweller on the threshold is in truly a spiritual no man's land. His condition can be even more frustrating because he actually has no ties to either plane. He is simply adrift in a spiritual void. And there, filled with frustration and fear, he will remain until something causes him to want help. This desire, welling up from within him, turns on a little light that flickers feebly. Then a teacher or helper is there instantly." The priest went on to explain to Joe that the term spiritual no man's land could, in its broad application, include both the dweller on the threshold and the earthbound individual. All those who are no longer in physical bodies and who have not gone through the Valley of the Shadow are in a spiritual no man's land. Many of these individuals, depending upon their attachment to the earth, retain their earth, or physical sense, appetites. As they wander around among those who still have physical bodies, but with whom they find frustratingly that they cannot communicate, they do discover, perhaps by accident at first, that by impinging themselves onto physical bodies they can share in these individuals' sense gratifications. Thus they find that they can satisfy vicariously their own retained appetites. When this discovery is made, trouble starts, for many of those who are earthbound care not the slightest for the consequence of their acts, nor upon whom they impinge themselves. They can inflict their own desires and lustful appetites upon individuals still in physical bodies, causing them to do things they would not otherwise have done. A person's life is wrecked, for example, for drinking too much, and he maintains all the while that he does not know why he cannot control his craving. Even murders have been committed, with the murderers maintaining that they did not know what possessed them to do it. Impingements with less serious but still unfortunate consequences, the priest concluded, are extremely widespread. Joe broke his silence. Does this mean that all those crowds of people in this spiritual no man's land you talk about are causing trouble for guys back on the earth? This is not necessarily true, the priest pointed out. Not all individuals inhabiting this spiritual no man's land attach themselves to others. It is quite possible for one who has been well principled in terms of everyday decency, honesty and fair play to become earthbound, too. It might happen to one who had little or no spiritual foundation or background. And if someone is so opinionated that he will not listen and learn from those who offer him assistance after he makes his physical transition, and if during his lifetime he had been wholly or predominantly tied to material things of the earth, he could easily find himself earthbound, in which state he would remain for varying lengths of time, wandering aimlessly and harming no one but himself by impeding his own progress. Joe was curious to know if one who had a solid spiritual foundation before coming to this plane could remain earthbound. The priest assured him that it is indeed possible. In the case of such a person, however, the earthbound state is brought about by the misdirected feelings of those who are left behind. Those still on the earth plane, you see, indulge in paroxysms of weeping and mourning, which is equivalent to refusing to release the departed one. This refusal can operate as a magnet, holding him to the earth plane. The attitude toward death and what it is, continued the priest, is most important not only to the one who is going through the door, but also to those whom he leaves behind. When the realization is reached that there is continuity in living, that one never dies, and that stepping through the veil separating the two planes of existence is only an incident in living, the treatment of the departed one will change. He will be released gladly by his family and friends, as they realize that it will then be possible for him to complete his transition and emerge into the Summerland. The departed loved one will have a thankful heart for this understanding and this release. Quietly and almost unnoticed, Aramius had joined the two, and up to this point had been merely listening to the priest's discussion. A spiritual foundation is most important, he offered. In the old days, religions that taught hellfire and brimstone were not so good, we thought. Maybe they weren't. Those who came over then might not have agreed with us at first, or accepted what we said, and they may have been looking for the pearly gates and harps and couldn't find them, but at least they were open to suggestions from us that they had made their transition. And when we could take them and show them that they were willing to listen, because they had some spiritual foundation. Today more are coming over without any such foundation at all. They are in no way prepared to accept any sort of life beyond physical death. Joe wondered about one of the fellows he had been hanging out with before he first appeared at the AUM group. You know, I think that guy had a hand in crime of some kind. And one of the teachers around here said he had committed suicide. And if you can believe it, he was even more mixed up than I was. Yes, he would be, Aramius told him. The state of mind that prompted him to resort to suicide as a way out would inevitably add greatly to his confusion following his transition. I guess they have to be punished for stuff like that, don't they? Asked Joe. What kind of punishment will that guy get? There is no punishment on our side, Joe, for suicides or anything else. Punishment is the way that man, in his limited vision, has set himself up as the judge of the actions of others. Man fails to see the perfection of God in all things. Man feels anyone who acts differently from the way he acts is wrong and often punishes another for acting in this different way. Here, we inflict no punishment. There is only that which one gives to himself as he sees the truth about himself, and punishment becomes willingness to work out one's own salvation, if I may borrow a word in common use on the earth plane. Just as we have no punishment, we also have no salvation. An individual saves himself when he looks back over his lifetime on earth, sees his errors, and resolves to redeem himself for those errors by living another lifetime and so progressing on the spiritual path by dotting all his I's and crossing all his T's. Those who are catapulted into the other world, in whatever manner, are always given special attention, but keep in mind that this special attention is not necessarily the same in all cases. It varies with the circumstances, and these circumstances include the state of the victim's mental and spiritual being. During this period of Joe's early development, he had many counseling sessions with Jiril, the man whose transition was described earlier, and who is now an Imperator teacher. Although Joe realized that he would require much preparation and training before being qualified to do so, he had by now decided that, among other things, he would like to return to the Earth as a teacher for the Imperator group, like Jiril and Aramius. "Tell me this," Joe asked Jiril during one of their discussions in connection with this possibility. "What would I say in case somebody asked me to explain what I meant if I said something about above the earth plane? We are frequently questioned about our use of that term. Here again, we encounter the inherent limitation of words, which for the majority of people on earth are essentially the only means of communication. This applies to both the communication between themselves and between their plane and ours. Our use of the term above the earth plane is not intended to imply any location in space, with one plane being situated directly underneath another. But see page 56, while this spatial concept is inadequate, we have no other way of explaining it. Above the earth plane refers to a sphere or dimension where, freed from the limitations of the three-dimensional physical world and consciousness, life is lived under conditions benefiting multidimensional spheres. But, having to use words with which to communicate with people on the earth, you will find it impossible to describe just what most of those conditions are. One sure have found out that much, commented Joe, making a quick comparison of conditions on the earth and in the Summerland, and realizing he could never have explained the Summerland to his family back home. If there is this kind of above the earth, is there a below? He then asked Jiri. Yes, there are other spheres below the earth plane. And although these terms above and below do not have any relationship to space, they are not altogether inappropriate, because they do represent a progression upward. The first sphere below the earth plane is inhabited by those who have given free rein to the animal passions of their lives in the physical body. There are many spheres below that, which I shall not describe, even to you. I was at one time taken there, that I might observe, but conditions there are too horrible to mention. You will, in time, have other contacts with the earth. Try at all times to speak to the people there only of that which will aid them in their upward progression, satisfying their morbid curiosity by discussing with them the nature of conditions and of life in these lower regions certainly will not accomplish this purpose. I refer to it here, even to you, only as a precautionary measure, and to indicate to you that these regions do exist. But there are countless numbers of other things to which it is much more spiritually advantageous for people to give their attention. Once again Joe nodded understandingly. Chapter 10, Orientation and Adjustment. Because Joe's readiness to listen was such that he could be reached by members of the AUM group, Joe was now making enormous strides in his adjustment to his new life. Going through that process known as the Valley of the Shadow had lifted the scales from his eyes in such a way that he knew with a knowing that extends beyond intellectuality that here was his place of fulfillment. Here were people, and here was a place, that he could trust. He could put himself into unreservedly, he need not hold back any of himself. These things Joe did. He plunged into his new life with an enthusiasm and boundless energy seldom seen by his guides and teachers. In some respects he was still very largely the same Joe he had been when he was a bartender. If the concept of a diamond in the rough were applicable to Joe, it could appropriately be restated to emphasize that as an unpolished diamond he remained rough indeed. He needed much refinement. He was still uncouth, his manner of speech and his command of the language left much to be desired, and one area of his thinking still revolved around his own muscles and brawn and fists as a persuasive and coercive device. He came to meetings of the AUM group from time to time to report briefly on his progress, usually too busy to stay very long. "What am I doing now?" he replied one night in answer to Leonard Worthington's question. "I'm working with other guys like I was. Batting people around and making 'em stand up and behave themselves, that's what I'm doing. But we got a swell crowd over here now. And you know what? I got 3 assistants. They got to take orders from me. Believe me, I can give 'em. And if people don't keep in line, I knock their heads together. I'm really going places." After Joe's appearance, Aramis came in to comment, "Our good friend the bartender is so busy and is working so hard he can hardly contain himself. He has no time to stop and consider himself, he wants to be everywhere at once. In time, he is going to learn a little more diplomacy. But he is certainly doing the work of half a dozen men. And since he is no longer here at the moment, I can say this to you. He has not yet outgrown some of his ideas about how to handle people. In working with others, he'll go just so far, with all the patience and kindliness and love. But if he doesn't get his desired response as quickly as he thinks he should, then he wants, as he puts it, to knock their heads together. His interpretation of it is that God takes off his gloves at times. And I guess some of them need the treatment he gives them. He said to me the other day, 'I tell ya, Doc, ya can't spare the horses around here.' These are things, however, were merely on the surface, and there was evidence that a refining process was already in progress. You will recall that on his second visit to the AUM group he spoke of wanting to improve his speech. But vastly more important, Joe was now motivated entirely differently. He became aware of an almost all-consuming drive in 2 directions. He wanted to learn all he possibly could about his new world, and as rapidly as possible. And, representing a diametric reversal of his earth-plane attitude toward people, he found that he had a fiercely burning desire to help others who were in the condition he had been in earlier and to induce them to take that first step toward an improvement of their lot, just as he had been helped. This was very much in line with the general desire found in those on the other side who see so many ways they can be of service, either to persons still on the earth plane or to those who have left the earth but have not been able to complete their transition. Joe's later report to the AUM members went like this: "Know what I'm doing now? I can talk to the ones that are in the same kind of mess I was in. Of course some of them tell me I'm nuts. And a lot of them don't like it because Father helps me, so if they don't like the Catholics they go off and get their own kind of preacher and let him help them. But I got a lot of guys that want to go on instead of hanging around like I was. Aramis made me a promise. You know I helped a lot of guys get on the skids over there where you are. You know that. Of course I didn't know all of 'em who came to that bar, they sort of came and went. But there's a lot of 'em I did know, and I'm watching. And when they come over here, Aramis is gonna let me meet 'em. And I'm gonna try and help 'em stay over instead of always heading back to the earth. That's my job. Every individual is met upon his arrival on the other side, and always by one of his own kind. Those people whom Joe was to meet were of his own kind, he had been one of them. There was therefore more likelihood that they would listen to him than to one who did not from personal experience understand their needs and their makeup. Joe's intense desire to learn, plus a natural gregariousness, prompted him to try to get information about one subject or another from almost every person he saw. From a number of conversations he gleaned that people arrive on his side in many conditions and many states of belief and awareness, all of which determine how they start their lives over there. From a man in a white robe whom he immediately held in great reverence, Joe learned about hospitals and their function. "Had you supposed," inquired the man, "that there are no hospitals here?" "Well, now, I guess I hadn't supposed much of anything," answered Joe slowly, as he tried to scan the years quickly to bring into focus what his beliefs about such things as this had actually been. But if I'd have thought much about it, I guess I would have thought that you won't need them over here. We do indeed have hospitals, Joe's teacher explained. We have facilities of all kinds to care for everyone who comes over. Each arrival brings his Earth personality with him, and all personalities have certain needs, some of which are acute and require immediate attention. Many individuals make their transition from hospitals on the Earth. Others, deprived of hospital care before making their transition, feel the necessity for it. All these people bring with them their consciousness of a need for hospital care, and to fill that need there are hospitals awaiting them when they arrive here. They are attended by helpers who are specially trained to minister to them with loving care. They are given spiritual tranquilizers that heal. They continue to receive the special care of the attendants until they no longer need it, until they are renewed and strengthened and are experiencing the wonders of their new life. As Joe walked slowly beside his teacher companion, listening to the explanation, he noted that they were beside a hospital, which at his request they entered. It was rather similar, he thought, to hospitals on the Earth, except that this building was far more beautiful than any building he had ever seen anywhere, with a beauty unknown to those who see with Earth plain three-dimensional eyes. As he stood in the corridor of the hospital, in almost speechless wonder at the immensity of the structure, its beauty, and its critical role in the lives of new arrivals, he noticed a young man performing quite menial chores who, nevertheless, appeared to be a person of great personal charm, intelligence and impeccable manner. The seeming paradox caused Joe to remark about it to his companion. It is not surprising that you notice her dignity and her unusual poise. That is one whom we call Frances. She was known to many on the Earth. I told you a moment ago that all individuals leave the Earth plane with certain needs. Some need, first, care in a hospital of this kind. Others are sorely and desperately in need of simply love. The needs vary greatly and, as I told you, we have facilities to care for all needs. Frances came to us from the Earth, a very haughty and disdainful person. It took a long time for her to realize, or, rather, to admit to herself that what she needed first and foremost was to learn humility. She chose this work, with its menial tasks, as a means of fulfilling her need. She is learning her lessons well and will very soon be ready for other work which will fill other needs. As they strolled slowly down the corridor and back outside again, Joe's teacher explained more about the different categories of new arrivals. In addition to those who are in need of actual hospital care, many individuals, in fact, virtually all who are not actually ill, need rest. Perhaps there had been a period of ill health before the transition, perhaps there was a weariness of both body and soul at the time. In all cases, people bring with them the effects of whatever their lives on Earth have been, and usually they are tired. Even the relatively short rest period Joe had agreed to had been necessary so he could assimilate his new findings and understandings and get acclimated to his new surroundings. Joe, remember, was a person impelled by boundless energy. He remarked, I can see people who are sick on that other plane haven to start out in a hospital over here. But it beats me why anybody would go to a hospital just to rest, when they could be seen all these fancy new things. Jiril had joined them just in time to hear Joe's remark. I can understand why you say that, Joe. You might suppose that I, as a churchman, would have been at least a little prepared for life on this side. When I first came, I had many fascinating experiences. Cyril had been one in a high position in the upper hierarchy of one of the world's great churches. In meeting old friends. Then, like you, I was amazed at all the beauties surrounding me and was avid to see everything at once. My friend suggested that it might be wise to rest, after the long illness my body had suffered. I was not of a mind to rest, but as my friend had gently insisted, I found myself willing to agree to his suggestion, and I rested. How much time did you spend just resting? Joe asked. It's difficult now for me to think in terms of measures of time as we knew it on the Earth plane, Jiril began. I know what you mean. Joe interrupted. Seems funny that we used to run our lives by minutes on a clock. Don't see many clocks around here. No, smiled Jiril. There are some clocks, which are needed by those on this side who still require time that is regulated in hours and minutes as it was for them on the Earth. I suppose I rested several months.